Today, on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. It's another Film Club edition, and I am joined by guest comedian Laura Lyons to talk about her favorite film, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it, or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference. Love them. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech is timeless. Love it like it, or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas.
Everybody, and welcome to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Today is a Film Club edition. Film Club are those films that I ask people, give me three of your favorite films. I'm going to pick one of them, and then we have a discussion episode about it. So it's like a book club, but for films, and that's my favorite kind of book, a film. So today I had my friend and comedian Laura Lyons. She brought in the film Plan 9 from Outer Space. You may know of this movie. You may have heard of it. I first became aware of it through a film called Ed Wood, starring Johnny Depp, which was about the director, Ed Wood. It's been dubbed the worst film of all time. And so I was curious that this was one of Laura's favorite films of all time. So I had her on. I watched it, and let me give you the summation of it, okay, real quick. Residents of California's San Fernando Valley are under attack by flying saucers from outer space. The aliens, led by Eros and his assistant Tana, intend to conquer the planet by resurrecting corpses in a Hollywood cemetery. The living dead, a cape-wearing ghoul, a vampire, and a slow-footed cop who was killed for his nosiness stalk curious humans who wander into the cemetery looking for the evidence of the UFOs. Bela Lugosi is in this. It's one of the last films he appears in before he died. Why does that say 1995? That's not. This is like a 1959 film. Somebody switched those on their posting. There's a lot of thoughts I have on this film, and I share them in this episode. So go ahead, check it out. I believe it's available for on Amazon Prime. I think you can watch it on there. The color version, I think. If you can find the black and white, I would do that, because I think it's supposed to. I think films shot in black and white, you should watch in black and white, so you don't get a different interpretation, or different things aren't distracting you. So if you can get a hold of that, I was watching this last minute before our recording, so I couldn't go find a black and white copy of it. But yeah. Thank you for tuning in. Here we go with You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein and my guest, Laura Lyons, Film Club Edition, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Laura Lyons, welcome.
Oh, hey.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for the program.
I was telling the audience right before it started, a little description. It's Film Club. Welcome to Film Club, I guess I should say. Where we talk about Film Club. We're of course on this program, I ask people to tell me one of their favorite movies, a movie that meant a lot to them. They give me a few and I pick one. Usually one I haven't seen, but I kind of wanted to see, and for some reason I hadn't. And this one you threw out as a favorite, a film I've known about for a long time, but had not, I never seen. Plan 9 from Outer Space, as people watching the video can see the poster behind me, directed by Ed Wood, a cult classic. Now it's become a cult classic. It's a quick storyline. The concerns extraterrestrials who seek to stop humanity from creating a doomsday weapon that they could destroy the universe. The aliens implement Plan 9, a scheme to resurrect the Earth's dead. By causing chaos, the aliens hope the crisis will force humanity to listen to them. Otherwise, the aliens will destroy mankind with an army of undead. If you want to watch this along with us and come back to it, you can go. I watched it on, it's available on Amazon Prime for free.
It's free on YouTube as well. I was just watching it.
Is it free on YouTube?
Yep.
Oh, dang. I didn't even check. I didn't even think to check there. The version I saw was in color. I saw the in color version.
Ooh.
And, which I did read about some differences on it. The original is black and white. On Amazon, well, probably better on YouTube, because on Amazon Prime, it's like through Tubi, I think.
No.
So there's commercials just abruptly in it. So I watched it that way. And so I got to ask you first off, why Plan 9 from Outer Space? What is it about this film for you that, what does it hit for you?
It's hilarious. I was introduced to it actually by Tim Burton's movie, Ed Wood. And I saw that.
Yeah. That's the only reason I even knew about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are in that boat. And I was just curious, like, was it really as bad as they portrayed in the movie? Is it really this, like, I don't know, catastrophic, like, disaster of a film? And it is. But like from the first line, I was laughing, and like just watched the whole thing is just ridiculous. And
the opening narrator, the narrator who just starts just talking weirdly. It's interesting. Like, yeah. So for listeners, if you don't know, the film was dubbed by some movie, I don't know, critics. They ran a book. They named Plan 9 from Outer Space the worst movie of all time.
Yeah.
Though only 35 or 38 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, it has an aggregate score of 66% right now.
That's
so
awesome.
It's not rated in the, it's not in the bottom 100 of films on Rotten Tomatoes. But yeah. I think that film, and I think Tim Burton's Ed Wood, kind of elevated this to beyond being a bad movie to like this cult status that and this thing. It's like an event beyond being a movie, I think now.
Yeah.
It's not just a single movie alone. It's there's phenomenon around it. I gotta say my favorite part of it is how he took, so Bela Lugosi is in this film. Bela Lugosi did not set on foot on set for Plan 9 from Outer Space. Ed Wood used footage he had from something else with Bela Lugosi and just put it in. And I had forgotten that aspect of it, and I was trying to figure out, what the hell is he doing? Why is he out? He's a vampire? I thought that was the grandpa. What is what? And then I read about it, like, oh, that makes sense. And he just used the same house for a couple. Maybe did he use the same house? Yeah. Or something enough to make me think it was. Just threw it in there.
Yeah.
The gonads that he had to do that in some ways is like, what?
Absolutely. And like he got a lot of heat for that. Like, and a lot of people, there's like a debate, like, was he exploiting Bela Lugosi? Like when he was alive, like, were they really friends or was he just trying to have this famous actor in his film so that he could make it? And it's probably,
well, that's a question of every friendship that's ever existed.
Point, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, not just Ed Wood, is it? I mean,
yeah, why are we talking right now, Silas? Like, do you know me?
It's just your fame, Laura.
Thank you.
But I mean, that happens nowadays that people question, oh, are they really friends? Or are they just, you know, I mean, who do you know as friends? You know, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were friends, right? Because they were friends before. So, you know, they're legit friends. But a lot of other ones, you're like, you don't know, right?
Yeah.
But so I that's hard. I mean, I guess he has to decide whether, and that's more of a personal thing, right? That he has to decide whether he was. I think it's exploiting to use somebody's likeness or to use footage of them in a different movie than they filmed.
I agree.
Unless you absolutely know that they were going to do it and they would have wanted you to do it. I think that's exploited. In some ways could be exploiting your friendship too with the person, even if it was a legit friendship, right? But it's wild. What? So it's hilarious. Now this really does raise a question for me about, because I have an affinity for disaster movies. Like, if the world is gonna blow up, a volcano's blowing up, something world ending is happening in the movie, I'm there. I will go there opening night. Moonfall, wonderful, wonderfully fun, horrible movie, but not as bad as this.
This is pretty bad.
Grossly, like, really? Did you think this was gonna work?
You can see the strings, like the same scene, like one part of it will be during the day and one part will be in the night. It's the same scene.
It's like, have you seen the movies for the 48-hour film project that happened here where they, it happens all over the country, but I've been in a few and directed a few where they make a movie over the weekend, right? It's from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Friday to 7 p.m. Sunday. You have to turn in a completed 5 to 7 minute movie, right? The special effects, those will happen where you're watching it and it's like day and night. No, day and night. So it's, you get it on that because you're like, yeah, you ran out of time and didn't know, oh, you shot that part. Even one of the ones we shot, we did our best in post, but we just couldn't get because we shot all of Samantha's scenes, part of it first, and then they went to me, and mine was much darker. My scene, like, I was like, oh, but not night day, which we've seen those too. But I mean, this budget, like what he did on there, I see better things in this. Now, granted, technology is a lot better now, but like, I just can't fathom you having enough time that you wouldn't do. I don't know. I don't even know. Like 1950? Was it
58, 59, 56?
I think. Like, I can't even fathom what the technology was at that time. Like, what did they?
57.
Yeah. Screening on 57. It was shot in 56.
Oh, okay.
And had a test screening in 57. General release. Oh, general release wasn't until 59.
Oh, shit.
What? Like, so I don't even know what you could do back then. Because, like, I remember I just watched The Fablemans last year, the Steven Spielberg film, and it was, like, about when he was a kid, and he figured out how to make gunshots, like, look like they had gun shots out of these like fake guns they had. He poked holes in the actual film, like where the gun was.
Oh, that's cool.
And he was like, came up with it on his own. And so I'm like, they couldn't even do special effects at an amateur level of a gunshot at that time, right? So how could they, like, I don't know how they would have taken the string out, or if that was just like,
yeah, I guess that's a good point.
I don't know how many movies, maybe it's easy to take out. I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah. I hope I could do it now. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope I could do it now, and I'm not even a director, so hopefully right. I think it is that easy now, but yeah,
paint a string green or something.
I have to believe there was a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, a lot of it is inexcusable, just like the night and day stuff. You can't just have that. Same. You can reshoot that. Like, I don't understand why you're not taking the time to do that, but I'm so grateful he didn't take the time to do that, because we have an incredible film. And it's so, go on.
You said it's fun. So it's hilarious. Now, are you laughing just at how bad it is?
I think that is why I'm laughing. Yeah, I think so. I think it also just like is a film that makes me super happy, because it's like he puts, it's clearly like an act of love. Like, he loved this project he was working on, and it just wasn't worth it. It was so bad. And that's kind of funny to me too, just like the failure of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because it's not necessarily like there's not a whole lot of funny jokes, although the writing also so bad it's funny. Like, yeah. Funnier than I will ever be, like super jealous.
Is it you, and I hadn't thought of this until you just said it, but like the act of love that he put into it, that he did love the project, it makes me think about, that's my insecurity in comedy sometimes, is like,
yes,
is like, am I the Ed Wood of comedy? Do I, I thought I put together this piece, and like, and you know, and then you, most comics have had an experience at some point of walking in, you think you put together this masterfully crafted joke, and it just doesn't, nobody laughs.
Yeah. And no, I get that. And I think, like, that's one of the reasons I still love him, is like, he was so bad, and there's no happy ending to his story. He died penniless, homeless. He was in a friend's apartment drinking like a drunk. There's no happy end to it, but he still did what he loved. Like, he still did it, even though he was so bad at it. And I think there's just some like virtue to that. It's inspiring. Although, yeah, I get what you're saying. I constantly am like, is this how people see me? Like, I'm working so hard, but they're like, please stop. Like, yeah, it's scary.
Like, the other day I was just like, I did another joke that I did at Comic-Con, which also didn't get a laugh that I thought. And I was like talking to my wife, and I was like, I don't think most people associate Disneyland with churros. unless you've been to Disneyland, and maybe at the right age, you may not realize how many churros there are and how lovely they are. Like, they're wonderful. But like, my whole family associates churros and Disneyland. So when I told the joke at home, they all laughed. And then I go in an audience and they're like, huh? And then I go to another audience and they're like, huh? And I'm like, well, guys, okay. And I move on, and I'm like, what? And I was like, churro is like my Ed Wood. Like, did he, I have anything, yeah, to be like, oh, go. No, people don't get it. They just, are you missing the point? You just don't understand.
I'm an artist, damn it.
Now, are you able to, I was like, okay, I do. One thing I appreciate about this project is like, I'm going to finish these films no matter what, right? And I mean, there was like, I did have to pause and go like, I got to get a, I gotta get some popcorn going here. This is bad. Like, yeah. And I'm just like, I'm trying to see, like, do I bother analyze this film? Do I go the, oh, well, what are the top three things? What are the top bottom things? What's the lesson? I mean, I do wonder that. I was reading about trying to figure out what was the point of this thing? Was it? And then I hadn't realized that there was a whole movement of sci-fi at the time about after the bomb had dropped, writing sci-fi, talking about the dangers of the scare of science gone wrong, going too far, and what you could do, which is what his little that speech at the end, not the aliens, the alien speech.
Oh, yes.
Who talks about, well, what you're going to do is you're going to discover another type of bomb that comes from the sun, and you're going to do this. What? How does that work? Well, you see how, and then he explains how to make a bomb. And it's
no
like,
idea.
What? This is like, what are you, this is exposition from a bad Star Trek episode. I'm like, no, what you're going to do is like, you're telling them how to do it. What are you doing? Don't tell them. Oh God. Yeah. Like, and so the Dane, like he has, I think Ed clearly had this, he saw this, I don't know, maybe as an artist was like, I can help share the message about the dangers of war escalation and this, yeah. And you know, and then maybe we'll get stopped. Who knows?
I
love the thing at the end where they said, prove it's not true.
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
That.
Somebody just try and prove it. Oh my God. Lovely. Do you think this is a film that you bother analyze?
Yes, but I guess not. Because if you were to analyze it from like how you look at most films, like was the lighting good? Was the sound good? Was the acting good? Like were the costumes good? Like all that stuff. I think you're going to see this movie at like, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. But when you put it all together and then look at the bigger context of it all, I do think it is fun to analyze. I don't think it should be taken seriously.
Like, what do you think's good about? Like, is there anything good from it that you thought, like, you know what? They did that. And that was...
I don't know. Because I just keep going back to, like, he clearly worked so hard on this. It's hilarious because it's so bad.
What I can't help do is think about... And it's almost like any film I watch, right? I watch it and I'm like, didn't work, whatever. And I go, well, you know what, Silas? At least they fucking did it. At least they finished the film. Do you know how many films are shot that don't get finished?
Yeah.
Like sometimes commercials don't get finished. He did a full length film and maybe some things were bad. I have a script sitting in my computer. I won't say drawer, but that's not true at all. It's a computer sitting in my computer and random emails of a short film. Maybe the film's 20 minutes. I don't know that I want to do, but I always have a reason. I was like, well, I want to play this character. I got to lose weight for that. Oh, I got to get caught. Like I have reasons to not do it.
Right.
But I think, and yeah, there's some improvements that can be done on it to make it better. But then I look at this and go, and not that I want to be Ed Wood and have put a whole bad movie out, but there is an admiration to like the fact that he finished it. However it went, is a mark that is an achievement. Yeah.
It's amazing. Like the lengths he went to get these movies done. I mean like even putting things like Bela Lugosi in the same clip, like several different times, but he still did it.
Yeah.
And he was so motivated. And that's one of the things I think I love about this movie. It's like in the context of it all, it's like, yeah, he was so motivated. Like he went to a church and asked them for funding and he had to change the
wait, you cut.
But
cut off. Oh wait, no, you cut off a second.
I'm just gushing about Ed Wood and about how great he is.
You said he had to go to the church and what? Change the name?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he got funding from a church. That's how he ended up completing this movie. But the original name was Grave Robbers from Outer Space.
Oh.
But the church didn't like that name, so they had to switch it. But in the opening scene, they still call it Grave Robbers from Outer Space.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. So, but I guess, yeah, just that motivation, like the lengths he went to have his art out there. It's so inspiring.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a little Ed Wood in all of us, Silas. And that's why I love this movie, because it shows that.
Just like, do it, man. You got to.
Yeah. Put yourself out there. Just give it a go.
Yeah. It kills me. It kills me to think about that. Like, I have cameras. I have SD cards. I technically could shoot this, right?
Yeah.
But I have reasons not, like reasons that I've come up with. Oh, because like what? If it's not Marvel movie level, that I feel like that I can't do it. Maybe I just need to do it low, but like ultra low. Instead of a superhero spandex, maybe it is just like, it is just like, Nike sportswear that we grab and make it look, put a big sew an S on the chest. So I admire just the fact of finishing it and doing it. I think is an element. I will say that. I mean, where did he, the fact that he pieced these together?
Yes.
What's the stock foot? There's some stock footage of guns. Like shooting, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I was trying to find that and I couldn't find where that was, because I was like, clearly he didn't go shoot this.
No, I think so. At least in the Tim Burton's movie, Ed Wood, like he went to like, I think it was like a museum and found this footage, and he's like, wow, this is great. I can make a movie out of this. And then he did. So,
did he steal it or did he like record it there?
Oh, good question. No idea. I'm sure every time you'd have to ask for it, right?
Probably.
Because how else are you going to get it?
Unless it was playing and then he recorded it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that is a good point.
He might have done that. I mean, he wouldn't have cared about the quality, right? So why? Okay. Why do you? And suddenly your hair is magically different. It's wonderful. It's the theater.
Yeah. Smoke and mirrors.
Why would you tell somebody they should see this film?
Because it is so good. It's so funny, but also it gives you a deeper appreciation for the movie Ed Wood and Tim Burton as a whole. It gives you appreciation for who this guy was actually, by not just seeing Tim Burton's Ed Wood. You get to really see like what he was about for yourself. And you get to be part of the conversation, join this cult classic narrative, and watch it.
What do you think the order should be? Do you think somebody should see Ed Wood first? Because I mean, that's how we both did it, right?
I do think seeing the movie Ed Wood first helped me to enjoy Plan 9 better. I'm not sure I would have enjoyed it as much had I not known the context.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's a bad movie. Like I think it probably will get you. I think it'll help you get through it. Knowing like, oh, I know what they did. How did they do that part? Like how did this end up for reals? Yeah. Reals? Like how did it really end up?
And just like knowing a little bit more of who he was as a person, I feel like you can empathize a little bit more with what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Whereas just saying like, oh, this guy sucks, he shouldn't make movies. Like now you can say, oh, he sucks, but he tried so hard. And he was like this guy who loved his art and he's kept going despite being told, please don't.
You know what? And now I'm like, maybe I should have watched Ed Wood again before I watch this. Makes me kind of want to go watch Ed Wood again and go.
That's how I feel too. Just like doing this. I'm like, oh, I want to watch him again.
Which version did you watch, by the way?
The black and white one.
You've seen the black and white. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I would tell
someone. I didn't even know there was a colored one.
And I typically don't like, I just didn't think to look on YouTube for it. It was last, I meant to watch it before last night, but so that I could seek it out. But I didn't realize it was, they're, because sometimes they, because I know when they were shooting it, and they know they shoot it in black and white, right? So they make color choices knowing, they more do color choices at the time to go, well, it's going to be in black and white. How's this going to look? And so, like, sometimes with the smoke effects, I was like, well, I don't know if it would have looked this bad in black and white. Some things in black and white look fine. That colorized looks stupid. I've seen that before.
That's fun. I didn't even think about that.
You wouldn't make the same choice as you would. And I know that they may have people go in and individually, you know, decide, oh, her dress is going to be this color or whatnot. So I know it wasn't all there, but like, okay, one thing. So if you haven't seen the color version, you know, the aliens just look like aliens, right? And the makeup artist quit because he wanted them to like give him elongated like faces, like put implants and stuff to make them look different. And Ed Wood's like, no, not doing that, whatever. And so they quit, or they refuse to have their name on the credits, right?
Yeah.
And when they just look like aliens, just like normal people, right? And then there's a moment when the humans, forget if they strike, when they're striking back, or they do something where they hurt the alien one moment, and he turns green for a second.
The alien?
He's just like flash green, and then it's gone. And I read that they specifically did that for the colorized version. Like, there's a couple different. So there are a couple different edits, I guess, on the different versions you'll watch from the original. So folks, if you're seeking it out, you got to, I wouldn't go with the color because I don't think it's traditional. I think you go with the, how it was shot. It's like, It's a Wonderful Life is one of my favorite films.
Mm-hmm.
When it's in color, I'm so like, what?
Loses something, I feel like.
Yeah. I was like, he didn't shoot this in color. It's a black and white film. It's gotta be. Okay, I had a friend in college who would not watch. He didn't want to watch Schindler's List because it was in black and white.
That's insane to me.
That was his reason to not wanting to see it. And then he was in a bad attitude about it being in black and white. Which I'm like, it's okay to watch a black and white movie, dude.
Yeah. Just,
it's still
you're
good.
You're missing out on so many great films if you're limiting yourself like that.
Yeah, he was. Very very conservative guy, turns out. I didn't know that stuff. At the time, I thought it was just how you voted for taxes. I didn't know it was how you consume films. Like, No, I want my films in color. Because America, I don't know what the hell was going on.
I'm white. I'm not going to comment.
I am thankful to you for suggesting this because it is something in the back of my head. I've always wanted to see it.
Right.
And I never.
It's like Ed Wood makes you curious. Like, is it really like this?
Yeah.
And then you go down this rabbit hole of like who this guy was. And yeah, it's great.
One of the best Seinfeld episodes is the Chinese food restaurant. A lot of it is they're trying to go see a movie, which is Plan 9 from Outer Space. It was playing one night. And so his pitch to Elaine is, we got to go. This is Plan 9, the worst movie ever made. This is not Plan 1 or 2 or 3 or
3 7. Eight plans failed. Eight.
Yeah, this is the one that succeeded, Elaine. We got to see this film. And so like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's
oh my gosh.
There's always little references in society around about it. And so, and too often I think we make jokes about movies that we haven't seen,
and but they're
part of the
jokes.
Culture. Yeah. Now I can legitimately laugh and not just a general like, yeah, sure. I know what you're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
I'm a well-educated movie cinemaphile.
Well, and I think that's why it is a good movie to see, an important movie to see, because of the larger context of it. Like if you're just watching the movie to watch the movie for yourself, it's hit or miss. Like I think some people would find it amusing because it is so bad, but because of everything else in society, that's what makes it worth seeing.
It's more interesting than Avatar.
Yes, I do like this movie more than Avatar.
Look, Avatar is predictable. You know what's going to happen. You know it's really pretty.
Right, yeah.
You watch this. You in that way, you don't really know what's coming next in this.
Yeah. What? No, well, that is so bizarre.
What's going to happen? What? I just love that he's dressed in a cape like a Dracula, and I keep thinking about that. Like, there was no reason, and now I know it was because
he keeps hiding his face because it's a stunt double. Fuck, this is so strange. Such a strange film.
So hilarious. Yeah. So I mean, like, okay. So in my rating system, love it, like or lose it. And I probably give it the same thing that I did with Avatar. Like as a movie, I say lose it, but as an event. As an experience,
events. You got, yeah, you,
I'll give it a like it. Like you gotta, it's an experience to go through. but I mean, it's 80 minutes. It's not a huge runtime,
right?
So and sort of coupled with Ed Wood. I mean, it could be a real fantastic evening, or as a double feature, or hey, Friday night we're watching Ed Wood, Saturday night we're gonna watch the movie. That, like, maybe this is a movie. I could put Plan 9 from Outer Space as the outdoor movie this summer.
Double feature, right. Sounds amazing. Yeah. Like I would come see that.
Yeah.
Honestly, like show Ed Wood and then Plan 9. Yeah. That would be brilliant.
Oh no, that could be like a festival. Like a different,
like honestly, I'm loving this.
Take movies that like there's a movie based on the movie.
Yeah.
And so like you figure out how they go best and like show it. Cause I think there's like a movie about like the making of The Godfather that came out recently or something.
Yeah. Or that Jim Carrey movie that Jim Carrey movie and then the documentary.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there could be like, there could be a lot of couplings of, documentaries and the actual events or a film about the film or whatever. Or sometimes, a movie is such a piece of one character's life story that you do it around that. Yeah. That could be fun. Brainstorming now. Ooh, something for my ADHD to work on and not focus on my taxes. Okay. Don't do that. Okay. Well, Laura, thanks for coming on, or as you're known here, Null.
That's fine.
Thank you again for suggesting the movie. Thank you for joining me and talking about this during your lunch hour. And
thanks for having me. It was great.
Absolutely. And go ahead and everyone make sure you subscribe for the next film club. Who knows what it'll be? Maybe it'll be you on here talking about this. Who knows? So thank you for joining us. And thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't, cause we spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference. Love them. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas.